I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Good day, fellow Bruce Lee fans. Welcome back to the podcast and the second installment of our Presence and Productivity series. Here's the rundown on today's show. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to listen to a clip from a TED Talk given by David Allen, the author of this book we've been talking about, Getting Things Done. And then we're going to add some discussion of our experience with the concept stressed in today's show, Mind Like Water. Now, if you only have time for 10 minutes of the show, let's say, I understand, you know, time is valuable. Please pay close attention to what David Allen says, because you can grab the whole concept right there. And like I said, our discussion is just experience and reinforcement. But I think there's a visualization that will be helpful here when you start to listen to what David has to say. So he'll talk about a matrix. Picture the XY coordinate plane from algebra or from any chart that you've ever seen. Most charts, most graphs are only showing one quadrant, the all positive values quadrant, but this is the entire thing, all four quadrants. So let's review just a little bit. Horizontal, x-axis. Vertical, up and down, y-axis. Quadrant one, if we look at it like a clock, 12 to 3, all values positive. Quadrant two, 3 to 6, x values positive, y values negative. Quadrant three, everything is negative, that's from 6 to 9. And quadrant 4, you guessed it, 9 to 12, positive y values, negative x values. So the x axis here is control, the y axis here is vision or perspective, right? So quadrant 1 is where we want to be, maximum amounts of control and vision in all the things that we do. Unfortunately, as David will explain, most people probably find themselves somewhere in the other three quadrants. That's what you need to know. Here we go.
And by the way, life is messy, if you haven't noticed. Actually, mess is cool. Actually, the most productive times I am is when I have the freedom to make a creative mess. You too. I need room to be crazy, to make some mistakes, to brainstorm, to be chaotic, go a little off the edge. That is going to be your most productive time, is when you have that kind of freedom to do that. However, folks, if you're already in a mess, you ain't got room to make one. If your email is backed up on you with 1,000 unprocessed emails and you got 3,000 other things going on in your head, you have no space to take advantage of discretionary time that may show up in terms of being creative, in terms of your energy. The results of that, if you're trying to use your psyche to manage that mess and you never get out of it, is you get the results of two things that are the critical elements of self and organizational productivity. You'll lose perspective. That is, you lose the ability to put your focus where you need it on exactly the thing you need it, at the horizon you need it. And or you may be experiencing the results of what happens when you lose control. That is, I now don't have stability. And I don't have the freedom in my head to be able to put the appropriate attention and execute on it when I do. So those are the two key elements. Folks, you can't manage time. You don't mismanage 5 minutes and come up with six. The only time that you think you need time management is when one or both of these two dynamics is suboptimal. Either things need to be more under control or more appropriately focused. If you map those two things together, what do you get? If you, on the bottom left here, where you got no control and no focus, ever been there? That's your basic victim experience. You know, driven by latest and loudest. For the most part, most of us are thrown there by our own overcommitments and creativity. We're just trying to come up for air. Now, if that part of you shows up that has high focus and perspective, but no control, now you're the mad scientist. Now you're the desperate artiste. Now you're the crazy maker with all kinds of crazy ideas and no constraints of what you're doing, you're nothing very well organized. Middle of the morning, you decide to go buy the new iPhone, but your IT department won't support it. On the other hand, you could get down in the weeds and say, oh, wait, I need to get 10,000 things organized. I need to get all this cleaned up. And now you get into micromanagement. If you don't have appropriate focus, you can get down on those weeds and hung up in them like crazy. And you'll spend a lot of time, you know, doing a lot of trying to get organized about things that may not be that important. In the morning, you were a crazy maker, said, get a new iPhone. In the afternoon, you spend 2 hours of what could be a strategic afternoon trying to set up the right ringtones. Here's what's true about all three of those, folks. You ain't ready for what's coming towards you. You will be suboptimal in terms of your ability to handle the surprises, and they're coming. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're coming. Trust me. And you want to be optimally available for those things when they come to you. Now, everybody says, I'm doing okay. And I doubt if many of you in here will feel motivated enough to go do what I'm talking about, because some part of you may not be feeling that it's that bad. Because you got a job, or you're doing fine. You got relationships, you got money, you're doing okay. I'm suggesting, though, for thousands of people who've implemented what I'm sharing with you here, it could be a whole lot better. How sustainable is your life and work style right now in terms of the long haul? How available are you to all kinds of creative things that are right around you right now, but you don't have the bandwidth to recognize them or take advantage of them? And it could be a whole lot better. What would better actually look or sound like? So if you go back to our matrix and say, look, if I had just the right amount of perspective and just enough structure, just the right amount so that I've got the stability to focus on that and then to execute on it, now you're in the captain commander modality, which, by the way, is very cool, because that's the place that you're then going to be able to engage with life and your creativity in what it's designed for, which is using your creative intuitive intelligence, you know, into new frontiers. You're going to much more be in your zone as a normal state as opposed to an exceptional state. And you're going to be a whole lot more capable of dealing with surprise and change as it's coming at you. And by the way, it's coming faster and faster. That's what's new about the world, is how frequently everything is. Being ready for that. Basically, I refer to it, I use a martial arts term, as mind like water. A body of water responds to physical forces around it totally appropriately. It doesn't overreact, doesn't underreact. You throw in a pebble, it does pebble. Back to calm and balance again. You throw in a boulder, what does it do? It does boulderness. And it does it very dispassionately. It doesn't tense up before the rock hits it. It doesn't get all mad at the rock for having disturbed its calm life. Back to calm and balanced again. Now, out of these metaphors from nature, I've got a couple of lessons I've learned. Lesson number one is, hey, folks, flexibility trumps perfection way, way, way beyond. Life is not static, folks. There is no perfection here. If there is, it means I've now married myself and matched myself to the dynamics of life and its activity. The second lesson I've learned is I need the ability to be able to shift my focus rapidly, in, out, up, down, quickly. You know, in very few minutes, I might deal with a family issue and then take out the garbage and then be dealing with a business negotiation and not take one to the next, but be fully available for each thing, give it its appropriate due. Most people are taking one meeting to the next. Most people are taking home to work and work to home. That's not mind like water. Here's what you're really after. You want the ability to be able to put your focus exactly where you need it, in the way you need it, and not use your mind to be trying to accumulate stuff and avoid it. Big key. Folks, if you don't give appropriate attention to what has your attention, it'll start to take more of your attention than it deserves.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the School Sucks Live Show for August 22nd, 2013. I am in the Tragedy and Hope Studios with Richard Grove. Hey, Rich.
Hey, what's going on? First time we've done this tonight. Take three, that's all.
And sitting right
next
to me,
I'm glad to meet you for the third time, Brad.
Yeah, and sitting right next to me is Tony Myers, who now has to awkwardly say again, it's nice to meet you finally in person, Brett, after we've known each other online for over a year.
It's very nice to meet you, Brett.
Oh, well, thank you, Tony.
For the record, it's nice.
Just that it's on record. Recorded.
Excellent. So here we go, guys. This is great. This is what I like this format.
People like the laughing format.
Yeah, hey, the relaxed format.
You know, kind of break the ice a little bit. We can.
Where I get to use a straw instead of a coffee cup.
We do have a serious topic, though, for tonight. And I think it can take us in a lot of different directions. I introduced it to people on the social media as mental RAM. And it's really a question of how much stuff can we handle going on in these minds of ours in one moment or in one short span of time.
I wanted to start the show today with a story. We were all sitting here yesterday. It was towards the morning, I believe. And you said, Rich, that you were going to put on an episode of History So It Doesn't Repeat. You just interviewed Mark Passio.
Mm.
You also seemed very relaxed, Tony. And I sat here for about a half an hour, enjoying myself at first.
Yeah.
And then this noise started to come into my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, you've got seven things to do. Mm. Get up.
That's what
go
that squirming was.
What?
Was that what that squirming
I'm
was?
I'm a squirmer. I'm always squirming. But
you get restless.
I think it's important to point that out, that while you guys seem relaxed and you have your inboxes essentially at that moment empty,
yeah.
I'm thinking about the things that are in my inbox that I want to move somewhere else. But I can't do it sitting there watching a video. So I start to squirm.
Huh.
And I think that this story just illustrates that we are all working through the process of understanding this methodology, getting things done better right now.
So my first observation would be is that you could have easily captured those thoughts, externalized mm-hmm. them while you're watching the video, just written them down in your little pocket notebook like I got right here.
Yeah.
Take your pen and paper out, write those ideas down, and then you can continue enjoying the video.
It's just funny how important ideas pop into the head at the most random times, at the store, at the gym, at the laundromat, whatever you're doing.
Good ideas don't happen where you need to have them.
But right? this is the thing with habit, right? Because simple mistake that I made, I came in here and I have this new program that I also encourage you guys to use called Evernote, where you can make these notebooks, like you can have an inbox, then from inbox you can move things to action items for today,
sure.
You can move things to incubation or maybe someday, or if the things are just reference, you know, that you might need at some point, you can have notebooks for that. And you can sync it with all the folders on the desktop of your computer. And I installed it on my iPod,
yeah.
on my Android phone,
yeah.
on my computer, and it's on my Mac at home. So everywhere I go, it should be.
Hey.
But I walk in here without any of my devices. Now, you're right. If I just had a little notebook, and I think that actually writing things down
is easier.
It also looks less rude.
Just the idea of writing something down is this very, it's very powerful juxtaposed to that looking at a computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
And when we interviewed Mr. Allen, he mentioned that just writing it down, there's some sort of personal connection.
You don't have to save. You don't have to enter a file name. It's just written down. You can write faster than you can scribble. You can decipher your scrawls
right.
later. You know,
and you
it's
also,
your writing. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think it helps because it's easy to just get ideas out and capture them without being obstructive or getting off the call that you're on or
yeah,
whatever.
Right.
Because a lot of people use their smartphones and they need something else. Just like your brain needs a brain, you need a capture device. And if you have it with you all the time, make that simple habit. You're going to start collecting all those ideas and then you're going to start to be able to relax more because once you know how to process the ideas using a three-step method, then it brings you serenity because you're on top of your schedule.
Just a quick note on manners, too.
Sure.
When you're talking to somebody and you take out a little notebook and start writing things down, somehow to me, that seems more polite than taking out a smartphone and start. Like,
right.
Whenever you see somebody take out a smartphone or a device like that and they start playing with it, I think it kind of communicates like there's some place else I want my mind to be right
Whereas
now.
Whereas last week, you know, I met an interesting person,
yeah.
and he started telling me a story, and I start writing it down, and the guy with him is like, "Wow, look, he's got a notebook. He's writing this down." You know, and I was taking it seriously. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of being able to get things done and have integrity in life. Because if you don't have a method, then you're always struggling to be in integrity, and it's hit or miss. Whereas if you have a method, it's the constant. And that's a philosophical lifestyle choice that I think people might consider and find beneficial.
Aesthetically, it's more professional. I mean, you know, that's just one of the main. And I like your point, Brad, just mentioning that with a smartphone, it's very easy to, you know, especially with the way we perceive smartphones, the way individuals, especially younger individuals, use these phones, you know, it kind of has that predisposition that they turn their mind wants to be somewhere else or someplace else. So.
Hmm. And communication is important, too, because back to my story,
sure,
I didn't
story.
Verbalize that until later. I didn't say, guys, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now because I've got a ton of things in the inbox that I need to, that things that had already been captured.
Pulling at you.
Right.
Mental RAM being eaten up by many open loops.
But I wanted to go find out where they were going to go and when, you know, so my day started to have some structure and
yeah.
my mind
sure.
could be at ease.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I'm sitting here, I'm not getting things done. And that was the difference in our temperaments yesterday. You were in one place, and I, as of yet, haven't learned.
Yeah.
So I'm very enthusiastic about getting into this, but the habit is hard to change.
I also had a postponement in my schedule, and so I was just using my unstructured time in a way that I got things done on my right. to-do list.
Right.
Next available chance was yesterday to get some of that stuff done.
Well, my story is that for a long time I worked at jobs that actually required not nearly as much organization as what I do now.
Sure.
I mean, I taught history. I loved to teach, and it was a creative process that I liked to engage in. I was always planning ahead. I was preparing for years to be a history teacher, so it was almost like all this planning that had built up just overflowed into a whole year of teaching. The job I had before that was in a very intensive school, boarding school, where I would plan very meticulously everything I would do. And one thing would happen, like there would be a fight or somebody would break a window, and I would have to deal with the frustration of all my plans for the day being just shattered. And then I realized, okay, this is a job that requires more fluidity, and I eventually got away from like every block in the planner being full.
Sure.
The tutoring, all I had to do was be in a place at a certain time. I knew what to do when I got there. So I had had a fair amount of professional success when I started the show and felt like I knew how to manage things, but as the show grew, I didn't realize how many tasks would come to be involved, and I was not prepared. To grow into it.
Right.
So I'm still, even though I think I've had the creative energy to do it, I haven't had the organizational
knowledge,
know-how to...
The explicit knowledge.
To do it in a stress-free way.
One of the key properties you mentioned is preparing for the unknown.
Yeah.
Because life just throws us the most random events when we have everything so perfectly planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just a disposition of all of us is just to have control sometimes over, like, just how we plan our days out and how we want certain actions to take place. We want to just go to the store, want to go to the gym, whatever we want to do. And something just comes in out of nowhere. Like, you get a phone call from a friend.
Ring. And unscheduled meetings and how to recover your balance.
Yeah.
You got a solution for that?
Yes, I do. First of all, if you identify or observe that something else, there's a new stimulus coming into my environment, a phone is ringing. It's taking me away from maybe I'm writing down some notes about doing a show. And next thing you know, okay, I'll identify it. I'll observe it. Okay, it's a friend of mine. Oh, I haven't talked to him in a while. Maybe I'll pick it up and just, you know, go ahead and engage the call. Oh, no, there's something is different. He had an accident, a car accident or something, God forbid.
And then your priorities change.
Right.
And you need to help your schedule's out. Not shattered.
But you need a way.
You're reprioritizing your schedule, and how fast can you shift gears?
Exactly. Every second of every day, there's probably a new interruption or just, you know. And what happens when we take in, let's say we take in that phone call, there's an accident, all of a sudden all the other tasks we had scheduled for that day kind of get thrown or pushed aside. Mm. How do you go about dealing with that sort of disturbance? Like, what method can you employ to make sure that your mind stays at ease so you can stay focused on what you need to get done? And that right then, what needs to be done is maybe helping out your friend in that situation.
Sure.
So all of a sudden your priorities change. And I think that's the key, you know, distinction. So many of us get caught up in our lives and get caught up in like having a sort of structured plan. But I don't know if it was John Lennon who said, you know, there's everything you plan, then life happens, essentially. Something
life is what happens while you're making plans.
And I think thank you very much.
I think that was my problem, is that when these things would come up, I mean, I wanted to be very rigid and organized. And I was really trying to prove myself in my first teaching job, too. So I felt like I needed to have that
rigidity. Organization to get stuff done.
Did you notice that with other, I'm sorry to cut in, but did you notice that with other teachers? And like, let's say when you worked as a history teacher or even at the boarding school.
Yeah.
Did you notice that same sort of like rigidity to try to maintain their focus with what they had planned and the inability to respond to different stimulus or changes?
In the first school, the one that was more intensive, where we dealt with more behavioral problems, it seemed like people cared less about actually making plans.
Interesting.
So they wouldn't...
Had their plans made for them.
Basically. Yeah. So they were just like, because I was like, does anybody care? Does anybody... People just kind of going through their day willy-nilly... Because they knew, I think, the futility. I mean, the way the school was set up, it just didn't work. Putting kids like this in school all day with some of the challenges they had, it was just setting everybody up to fail all the time, teachers and students alike.
Why would they ever do that?
There was nothing else to do, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to corral kids into these, you know,
artificial
buildings.
Institutions?
Yeah, buildings during the day and make them do stuff that resembles education. So that's what they did. But it seemed like the teachers had this, you know, effort kind of attitude where they were just like, well, you know, these kids aren't going to, they don't care about my plans. So that was my observation there. At the second school I worked at, where the behavioral problems were minimal, we were able to have more plans. So I did keep a plan book, but by that time I had loosened up to the point where I said, okay, this is fluid, because I was teaching history.
Yeah.
And I had a few really engaged students in my class who would say, stop, wait a minute, right? Like, I had one black student in Vermont, and he always wanted to remind me that all the stories seemed to be about these white guys riding in on horses to save the day.
Sure.
And we would have these great conversations. And I remember when I first started the job, I was frustrated that these kids who don't know what I know won't let me finish my stories. But it was only after a couple months of doing it when I saw the opportunity that that created. Most of the stories that I was telling, to really know them or not, doesn't matter. But to be able to increase their engagement in the subject, if that was the way we would do it. So I said, okay, no homework, eventually no tests. I said, all I want you to do is, you know, come in, participate in these discussions, take notes if it's helpful. Take notes if you care. And it was students who taught me that. So by the time I left that job in 2006, I was Mr. Willy-nilly, Mr. Go with the Flow, because that's what I had learned from this previous employment experience. Now, you working in accounting and you having a background in sales, maybe that's, you know, not the case as far as your professional prior experience. But you wanted to say something?
I was just going to say, I find it interesting that the kids kind of gave you that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Experience.
They just gave you that feedback. Like, this is what we expect. And in doing so, you're able to engage their intention more. Mm. And I think that's very powerful. I mean, obviously, I think depending on the situation, the way you go about managing the job is going to change. But you can still have a consistent method all throughout. Like, I'm sure even in that situation, the sort of getting things done sort of method would have still applied. Because what you did was observe why the students weren't engaged, right?
Yeah.
The very first thing, you made that observation, you identified, you named it, at least insofar as a concept in your head. Well, what does this mean? Why aren't they being engaged?
What does it mean? Inquiring minds want to know. The other thing you're talking
about
is...
Are minds inquiring?
Yes, they are. You ask questions, like the one you just did. So what you're observing is that time management begins with learning what you can do with your time. What you can't do with your time is control those unscheduled meetings or interruptions. If you want to have meaningful events continue to happen that aren't scheduled and be spontaneous, you have to make some flexibility in your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that shit happens occasionally, usually every day, you can't have your schedule booked end to end because there's going to be a delay, technical error. You know, it depends on your line of work, but there's various things that can come up, and you need to plan for that. And you need to plan, if that doesn't happen, how to use that time structurally, you know, in a way that benefits you. And that goes into thinking about what you need to do in those situations before they happen and having a list and saying, well, where's my to read pile now that I have 20 minutes because this person's late? Or if I'm stuck in traffic, what else can I do? Oh, I can send a text to somebody and let them know I'm going to be late. They can restructure their time and not waste it. And that's just as good as saving your own time when you save someone else's time. So these are ideas that you can't share with other people until you structure them for yourself. And then once you do, it becomes a wisdom type currency.
Yeah. And what relates to that, too, is what David Allen says in his book. You can't do projects, right? You can only do actions.
Right.
And I think what that really translates to, and I think it translates beyond just your own personal productivity, it translates to critical thinking, translates to your communication with other people. So whether we're talking about the Trivium, whether we're talking about MVC or voluntary communication, being available to yourself and to other people and to whatever activities you're engaged in the present moment. You've used this shorthand to intellectual self-defense, and that's a martial art, as is something that Alan incorporates into his work, Mind Like Water, right, where we can return to a placid state after something significant gets dropped on it. And I think we're also trying to help other people get to this place, not just with their productivity, but ideologically and emotionally. And I try to monitor and be mindful of how I react and the snap reactions I have when somebody starts saying something that I disagree with. Do I turn into a concrete surface? So we've all experienced this, trying to have these conversations in our personal lives. We see the storm and stress and the emotional tsunamis that this can create in the seas of other people. So being able to lay that out first is very important, because we've had conversations where we say things that are mildly controversial, and people get up and walk away.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know if you've had that experience. I certainly have.
And I think in order to have mind like water, you must have first the knowledge and the ability to have strategically clear space. Mm. And it doesn't have to be completely clear, because then that's a sign of no work getting done.
Right.
But it's the being able to get back to zero, getting back to that equilibrium, that very much ties into mind like water. How fast can you recover from that unscheduled meeting or that interruption? And if you have a method and you're following that method, it becomes very fluid. It becomes a habit. It becomes something you don't have to think about. It becomes something that you have for the rest of your life, yeah. as opposed to watching CSI, you know, whatever is going on the TV tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's disposable culture. You can get real wisdom in the same time.
Well, you know, to employ an NVC concept, you know, do we have the ability to respond to our needs or our motivating factors, that which drives us, that, you know, those emotional impulses? And, you know, to get back to the idea, I think a prerequisite for looking into this information is, I noticed a lot of people have a sort of we use the term time of contemplation, but just an internal situation that caused them to ask questions and actually look into topics for themselves. And, you know, that seems to be a prerequisite. They have the personal responsibility to be open and honest enough with yourself to say, maybe what I've learned, maybe what I've been taught, maybe what my friends and family are saying to me, just that's not quite what the reality seems to be. And to go down that road, that's, you know, that's a lot of fear, especially if you feel alone. You don't have other friends and family that are going along that path. That initial starting point can be somewhat fearful. But these tools and tactics, these strategies you mentioned, you know, these different, we have like three or four of them now. They all seem to align with ways in which you can start engaging this information in a more peaceful and a more open, disposition moving forward. So I think that's the key. That's what.
Or not. The key is having choice and knowing that it's available. True, you don't have choice till you know it's available, because otherwise you're just running on default. And I think, you know, a lot of what we're talking about is a philosophy. It's a life philosophy. You can call it time management or productivity, but it's a philosophy of whether or not you want to be in integrity. And you want to live your life using reason. And if so, there's some tools that can help you live your life in a non-contradictory way, where you, if you want to think of something, you only have to think of it once. You can externalize it, put it in the process, and then your mind's clear again. And it's just like, you know, Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee fighting a big circle of people. They're not fighting the whole circle at once. They fight them one at a time, if you watch the movies.
Sure.
Right? Every fight is different, but the martial arts moves are the same.
Yeah.
And those are conditioned by habits. Right? I'm just figuring this out. I'm not a martial artist, but I have seen it done on TV.
Okay, everyone, we're going to leave it there for today. I said these would be nice and short. In the next show, you'll hear me and Tony Myers go over the getting things done process, the getting things done flow, we should call it. And we'll also talk about how we discovered it, how we consumed it, and hopefully you will find all of that information useful. I'm sure you will. You know, I'm confident that you will. Also, I want to make sure that today's takeaway is crystal clear, this idea of mind like water. Whether we're talking about the Bruce Lee example that opened the show or David Allen's TED Talk that followed, the idea is that water reacts appropriately, not just to its surroundings, but to its inputs. So this state, as far as the emotional payoffs of this system, of this way of thinking, is the ideal. It is the goal. In the next show, we're going to talk about some specifics as far as how you get there. But these two ideas I wanted to introduce first, because I think that understanding, first of all, the present moment awareness and the mind like water, which are obviously closely related, I wanted that stuff to be made explicit before we go on into the method itself. So, mind like water, a frictionless state. A position of readiness, balance, relaxation, where we're not controlled by what's going on around us and what is being put into us by our lives or by our shitty Facebook or by our work demands. We are ready. Very, very important. So, as far as suggestions between now and next time, this one is very simple. Download a program called Evernote. Do it for every single device that you use. So let's say you have an iPad, you have a Lenovo, you have a Samsung, you've got a MacBook. Download Evernote and put it on everything. It works on every operating system, every device that I have tried. Currently, I have an Asus laptop. I have a HTC Evo smartphone, and I have an iPod Touch. It works beautifully on all of them. It seems to be really slick on the iPod, so if you have an iPad, it will be the same thing. I think I have it on my Mac back in New Hampshire, but I've never used it there. But it doesn't matter, because once you get it on all your devices, I suggest you learn how to sync it. So let's say you're doing something on an iPad or on your phone, you're capturing information wherever you are. You might be at the grocery store buying avocados and you think of something important that you have to tell your uncle. Or maybe you're at Planet Fitness getting scolded for making noise while you exercise and you come up with an idea for a podcast. You have a capture device with you, so you do not lose that thought and it is not stored in your head as unidentifiable noise. You capture it. When you hit sync, it sends it to your desktop computer, so whatever notes you've made, it's there waiting for you. You can put them in the appropriate places. Now, some of you are saying, Brett, you shill. This is a free program. It costs nothing. Is there a paid version? Yes, but I've been using it for almost a month. At this point, I see no reason to upgrade to a paid version. All of my needs are met, so far anyway, by the free version. I will update you if that changes. Once you have Evernote installed, I suggest taking some time to learn how to use it, to learn how to sync it, to see what the differences are from device to device, platform to platform, and set up some notebooks for yourself. Then you'll see what I mean once you get into the program. These would be my suggestions for top-level notebooks. And what I mean by top-level is that you will be allowed to create new notebooks inside of these notebooks. Number one, in or stuff. Number two, a daily action list. Number three, current projects. Number four, you could call it incubation or someday maybe. Number five, reference. And number six, things done. And you might already, once you have that set up and once you see how Evernote works, you might know what to do next, but in the next show, we'll go into more detail. I hope you're finding this useful. Hey, you know, enjoy the rest of your summer. Only 2 weeks left. Get to the beach. Get that last camping trip in. Okay, until next time, thank you for your time. I know it is valuable. Take care, everyone. You're on a different road. I'm in the Milky Way. You want me down on Earth, but I am up in space. You're just so hard to please, we gotta kill this switch. You're from the 70s, but I'm a 90s kid. I don't care, I love it. I don't care, I love it, I love it. I don't care, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.